From the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, this is NIH Research Radio.
Welcome to episode 48 of NIH Research Radio, with news about the ongoing medical research at the National Institutes of Health, the nation's medical research agency. I'm your new host, Joe Balinfi, and coming up in this edition, we take a look back at some of the past features, one report from a year ago when the first human trial of avian flu vaccine began, and another from when Wally Akinzo looked at a publication explaining the science of addiction. But first, a timely interview about helping parents help kids with healthy eating. That's next on NIH Research Radio.
Got a youngster around the house who's on the heavy side but is otherwise healthy? The National Institutes of Health would like to talk to you to see what they can learn from your child. Not only are all study-related tests and treatments provided for free, but all participants are compensated. Check out clinicaltrials.gov or call 866-999-1116 for more info. NIH is a nonprofit government agency, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We're talking to Karen Donato. She's the coordinator of the Obesity Education Initiative at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. We start by asking, what exactly is WECAN?
WECAN stands for Ways to Enhance Children's Activity and Nutrition. It's a national education program from NIH, and its main focus is on helping parents and families maintain a healthy weight.
How successful has the WECAN program been so far?
Right now, we have 450 community sites in over 44 states that are doing the program. And one program that's been particularly successful is our site in Boston. Boston has been doing WECAN in a variety of schools with diverse audiences. They're doing parent programs in the after-school setting as well as programs for youth in the school setting, and they've been able to take the WECAN materials and actually implement them in these settings for Hispanics and African Americans, and they've been able to at least account for some changes in attitudes, knowledge, and behaviors of both the parents and youth who have really taken to these curriculum.
So what can WECAN teach families about how to eat and how to behave more healthfully this time of year?
Well, because the focus of WECAN is on the importance of maintaining healthy weight, we have a handbook for parents, we have programs for parents, and the essence of those programs is teaching them about energy balance. Energy balance by maintaining an equal amount of calories in with the calories you burn up, you should be able to maintain a healthy weight. And so WECAN has a series of tips as part of these products that really talks to parents about healthful eating, making sure that you choose foods that are lower in calories. Another great tip, I think, is for parents to really encourage their children to have more fruit and more vegetables instead of some of the high-fat foods. You know, go for the white meat, go for the carrots, go for the salads, go for the greens, instead of some of the high-fat foods. In addition, another tip is the beverages that one consumes over the holidays are pretty high in calories often. Sodas, alcohol. We encourage that people be mindful of the calories that they may be consuming in their beverages and to choose water or unsweetened beverages. Even low-fat or skim milk is a good option for children rather than some of the sweetened beverages. Another thing to be mindful of is the portion size. At the holidays, we have heaps and mounds of foods that are offered to us either at home or when we go to parties, but to make sure that you're mindful that one portion might be the size of a fist, and if you must have dessert, you might have a sliver of dessert. A small piece, a taste, rather than eating large portions or second portions of foods.
Anything else you'd like to add?
The WECAN Parents Handbook and the WECAN Youth Curriculum focus on three behaviors. One is healthy eating, one is increasing physical activity, and the third is decreasing screen time. And by screen time, we mean that we want to decrease the amount of time that children and youth spend in front of the television or computer screens doing video games, and that limitation is no more than 2 hours per day.
And where can people go for more information?
At the NHLBI website at wecan.nhlbi.nih.gov. We also have a toll-free number at 1-866-35-WECAN.
Again, that's wecan.nhlbi.nih.gov and 1-866-35-WECAN. Thank you, Karen Donato, and thanks to Kim Pellis, who helped with this interview. This month marks the anniversary of the first human trial of a vaccine to prevent avian flu. We turn back to January of this year to Bill Schmalfeld's report.
The first human trial of a DNA vaccine designed to prevent H5N1 avian influenza infection began on December 21, 2006, when the vaccine was administered to the first volunteer at the National Institutes of Health Clinical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. Scientists from the Vaccine Research Center at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases designed the vaccine. So, what's the difference between a typical flu vaccine and a DNA vaccine? Here's Dr. Gary Nabel, director of the Vaccine Research Center.
DNA vaccine is a new technology that we've used more recently in vaccine design. What we do is we use DNA that we grow in the laboratory, and we engineer it in such a way that it expresses a specific protein from the virus. And that's done independent of the whole virus. So in other words, we cut out a little piece of one of the genes from the virus and express only that one protein. That's in contrast to the traditional flu vaccine, which is actually the entire virus that's been grown in chicken eggs and then inactivated with a couple of chemicals.
As of December 27th, 261 lab-confirmed human cases of H5N1 had been reported to the World Health Organization, resulting in the death of more than half of the infected individuals. While human cases remain relatively rare and are largely the result of direct virus transmission from infected birds, a few cases of human-to-human transmission have also been reported. If there were to be a large-scale outbreak of the so-called bird flu, would a vaccine like the one being tested serve as a stopgap until such time as a vaccine for the specific strain of virus in a pandemic could be produced?
Well, it really depends on how effective the vaccine is. If the vaccine is highly effective, then it might be a new vaccine that could be used on its own. If it isn't effective at all, obviously that's not much of a stopgap. If it's somewhere in between, we would need to look at whether it would be good enough on its own or whether we might use it in different prime boost combinations. We'll need to just gather the data and see where in the spectrum it will be able to contribute.
The study will enroll 45 volunteers between the ages of 18 and 60. 15 will receive placebo injections. 30 will receive three injections of the investigational vaccine over 2 months and will be followed for a year. Volunteers will not be exposed to influenza virus. For more information or to enroll, visit www.clinicaltrials.gov or call the Vaccine Research Center toll-free at 866-833-LIFE. From the National Institutes of Health, I'm Bill Schmalfeld in Bethesda, Maryland.
When we return, another highlight from earlier this year on an Emmy-winning program.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
The HBO special titled Addiction ended up winning an Emmy Award. The National Institute on Drug Abuse was a key participant in providing information for the program, so we look back to this report from Wally Akinzo. We hear about the announcement of NIDA Materials and the HBO special.
Drug Abuse has unveiled its first consumer publication dedicated to explain the science of addiction. The 30-page full-color booklet, Drugs, Brains, and Behavior, The Science of Addiction, explains in layman's terms how science has revolutionized the understanding of drug addiction as a brain disease that affects behavior. Dr. Timothy Condon, NIDA's deputy director, said this new publication will help reduce the stigma attached to addictive disorders.
Well, this booklet explains the scientific research that NIDA has supported over the last 20 or 30 years and how this research has really revolutionized our understanding of drug addiction, essentially as a brain disease that results in compulsive behavior.
The new publication was introduced during a press briefing for the upcoming HBO documentary called Addiction. Dr. Condon said the timing was fortunate.
This is very fortuitous that it's coming out around the same time as the HBO documentary that NIDA's been a part of. We think this will be a very important adjunct to information for the public, the lay audience, to help them understand the science behind the disease of addiction.
The 90-minute documentary airs Thursday, March 15th. It was produced in partnership with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the National Institute on Drug Abuse and Alcoholism, and NIDA, and will explore many elements of drug and alcohol addiction through the eyes of those who are addicted and the experts working to better understand and treat this disease. If you're interested in a copy of the booklet, visit www.drugabuse.gov. This is Wally Akinzo at the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
And that's it for this episode of NIH Research Radio. Please join us again on Friday, January 11th, when episode 49 of NIH Research Radio will be available for download. I'm your host, Joe Belinfi. Thanks for joining me. NIH Research Radio is a presentation of the NIH Radio News Service, part of the News Media Branch, Office of Communications and Public Liaison, in the Office of the Director at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.